Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
This is our 8th episode of the Course of Course podcast, coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I think it's wonderful that we decided to do a Thanksgiving episode.
It's very important to give thanks and give forgiveness and everything combined. All right, so let's talk about our week. I know for me, it's been a little crazy. How about you?
Well, last week I went to Cabo for a week and I got to unplug, which doesn't happen very often. Last year I did it for my 50th birthday, and this year it was more like a spiritual boot camp.
So tell us what you did from the week.
Well, you know, last year during that week was my first time reading Gary's Disappearance of the Universe, which completely rocked and changed my world permanently.
So this is a 1 year anniversary.
It's a 1 year anniversary.
Very exciting.
It's a anniversary. Yeah. We started talking about a second book in one of our episodes, so I finished that one. Then I went to the new Jesus Fish book that you've been applauding. Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish?
That you're calling Jay Fish now.
Yeah, I call it Jay Fish. What's the author? Mike Lemieux.
Mike Lemieux.
Okay. And then simultaneously, I reread Alex's The Universe is a Dream, The Secrets of Existence Revealed. And then his first book in the trilogy, Revelations from the Holy Planet.
You did all this in Cabo?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And
that's impressive.
It was my review, too, for the course. So I was doing lessons, I don't know.
You're in the 150s now, right?
Yeah, I just hit 154. I think it was like 126 through 139 or something like that. So each day I'd wake up and read my two lessons for the day just because I had the time. And then I meditated. And then I went to the pools and I did my mango margaritas and I read the rest of my books.
Excellent.
I got present to a lot of things. I feel on a deeper level, which is what I think the course is kind of about, is all these levels and separations and fractions.
It's kind of fascinating watching your advancement, so to speak, because you are changing. And I think it's obvious now. And you're, about halfway through the course lessons?
Maybe so. There's, 365?
I would assume.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're getting there.
I'm getting halfway through. Yeah, I feel like it's starting to mesh. And I feel like I'm getting some power, and I feel like I'm getting what the keys are.
So talk to us about kind of your revelations this week.
Some of it instantly is around judgment and around how every single second of the day I'm making judgment on everything that's going on.
You said an amazing thing the other day. You said, I just give whatever's going on over to HSJ, Holy Spirit Jesus, as you've dictated it, and then you just move on. I love that concept. Like, whatever's going on with your life, just give it over to HSJ and move on.
Yeah, no matter what crazy dialogue is going on in the head, it doesn't matter where I'm at in that little story or reverie, but just turning it over.
Turning it over.
This illusion I'm giving to the Holy Spirit. And I find myself starting to do that more and more within every hour, which I think doing the timers last week and this week has helped a lot of the every hour getting present. And it goes back to that repetition.
When you say timers, you mean you're timing yourself?
On the phone, we have that tool, the Course in Miracles reminder.
Right.
What was
so there's
again?
There's an app out there, ACIM.
Yeah. Well, Workbook with Reminders, Foundation for Inner Peace with CDE Solutions.
Yes.
I think we did have to pay for it, but it wasn't expensive.
I can't remember.
Maybe a couple bucks or
yeah.
something.
And so it's got a timer in there. So listeners, you can actually download this onto your, I guess, Apple device.
And then each day is a lesson. You know, sometimes the lesson may last several days, but you can set a timer to be reminded to get present to it.
And you've been setting a timer every hour.
I have.
It's very impressive.
I have. And I think that repetition thing that they're talking about throughout the course is where the muscle is. Because mm-hmm. when we are giving it back to HSJ, the illusion, whatever it is that's going on in the moment, when we remember to do that, it's like painting, I don't know, it's like a pool of energy or something that's getting a little bit heavier, thicker, darker, lighter, whatever you want to call it.
So when you're at work, you set it for every hour?
Yep.
And it works. So you're like, okay, sorry, I got to block everything out for a second and focus on my coursework.
Yeah. I mean, there's times when I can't. And even in the course, it says, you know, there's times when business is happening and you can't get away. Right. Even if it's just for a minute or even if it's just for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I can't write then, it might come to me, you know, just floating through in an off time and I'll just do it then.
I love that you are applying this, trying to figure out what mechanisms need to be in play to ensure your success moving forward every day.
I feel like as high and as blissful as that week was, I had a very low when I got back and was back to work on that first day, whether it was just stress of the day and different things going on, like the communications were off that day. I don't know if it was a Mercury retrograde, but the emails weren't going out. There was a lot of hacking going on in the entertainment business with the systems and trying to see, did this communication go out or this one didn't go out or why didn't it go out? And
this feels like a bit of a theme with us personally, that we're great. I've said this before, we're fantastic A+ course students over the weekend. And when we get to work, it all kind of goes downhill. So it sounds like on Monday or Tuesday or whenever we get back to work, that's really the core time to go, okay, hold on.
But I do think the off time helps as well, because that's the time and space to delve deeper into it, which makes that muscle a little stronger so that when the work week does happen, I can still try and be coming from spirit, mm-hmm. come back to spirit, give the illusion over.
I think that's the part that I need to get over the hurdle, because as soon as I go in Monday morning, I don't know if listeners have the same issue. Emails are all of a sudden extremely important and they're urgent and you have to deal with them, or your phone calls or meetings and things like that. And when you're around the ego, at least in my workplace, the ego is huge. Everybody has a massive one. So it's trying to traverse the ego landscape for me. Mm-hmm. And that's where it becomes challenging. And probably my worst days, honestly, and I don't know if other course students are experiencing this, but I've really felt like it is amping up for me. Like I need to stop and figure out what is happening, because there's a lot of ego in my life. A lot of it is teaching me to stop for a second and find my center, mm-hmm. because I don't think I've had these kind of trials before. I mean, it's pretty intense right now.
I think it's the ego fighting its way. It's being undone, the error is being corrected, and it's fighting on for its life.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point for students who are doing the course to understand that these ego mindsets are so strong. And you're right, they're just looking for survival. And if they feel like their survival is being threatened, all of a sudden, they really kind of come into fruition in a big way. And that's what's happening to me right now.
Me too. I'm not sleeping well. I'm waking up a lot in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you had mentioned that you were up until 3 or 4 in the morning and you started reading the course. What happened there?
It wasn't like I had a certain thought that was running me that I was mulling over. It was more like, for some reason, I wasn't getting a deep sleep and I just was not sleeping. And then I would like wake up, and most of the time, it wasn't a good feeling. I feel like I'm probably working stuff out.
Right.
You know, when I do wake up, I still try and say my sentence about, you know, my mind only holds thoughts with God, so that I'm turning it instantly back over to HSJ. But there's definitely something, a battle going on. And I think guilt is a good indicator of when I'm being taken by my ego.
I think some of us, I guess, can relate to the fact that you couldn't quite sleep. I'm assuming that whatever was going on in your mind is probably ego-driven. I've had those moments before where I just replay an argument in my mind. Obviously, I'm arguing with myself, but it's so intense, I can't go to sleep. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're like, I have to get up to go to work in 2 hours. It's such a sad and frustrating feeling.
That's why I like turning to the course, even if it's in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Or like last night, I picked up Alex's second Holy Revelations time, just because I want to freaking blast it out. Like, right. You're going to come at me? Well, guess what? I'm going to come right back at you with equal force and more.
You mean you coming at me, meaning the ego?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm just going to power out in my coursework and my books and drown you out, mm-hmm. and get some more muscle and some more strength and some more understanding of who I am.
I totally get it. One of the things I really enjoy is jumping back into some of these books that make sense to me at the moment. The Jay Fish book, the Michael New Dude Wars My Jesus Fish, has been top of mind for me lately. Yeah. But I like your tip of when you can't sleep, just pull open the course. I think it will help. It kind of recenters. But we all go through that, oh my gosh, I can't sleep. What's going on in my mind? It won't shut down.
It's a constant willing. I will this to happen at my enlightenment.
Moving forward, let's just say Monday, we go back to work. Do you do any affirmations, or do you have some sort of, this is what I'm going to do when I go into the office?
Well, I feel affirmations are huge for me. I have little signs written all around my house, and that one about my mind only holds my thoughts with God.
Mm-hmm.
Is in every room in my house right now, because it's my way of kind of remembering, are my thoughts with the ego or are my thoughts with spirit?
And that's where repetition comes in.
Exactly.
Because but you and I have definitely been in situations where we might be in traffic and, you know, we forget. But the more we do repetition, the more it's top of mind and we can easily access it.
Yeah, I feel like the spiritual boot camp last week, because it was so intense in one direction, the ego's fighting in the other direction. But I know it's not going to win. Like, it's not winning. I just have to keep going with this ferocity. I feel like if it means I don't get to stay up to date on my favorite TV shows, then it's worth it right now. Because I feel like this is the most important thing for me, is to have a breakthrough.
I agree. I think we're both resolute in this Stephanie Engineering lifetime. That if we're not at the end of it, we want to be as close as possible. I turned off the TV today because I knew sitting here watching the TV all day was probably not going to be for the best of me. So I ended up reading another book that was actually very helpful and gave me a little bit of a spiritual breakthrough. We talked before about all these books that have meant something to us. We are going to a conference next week in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and it's with Gary Renard. So we will report back on how that goes.
And but Cindy.
And Cindy, exactly. So I'm looking forward to sharing with our listeners who won't be able to travel to San Diego what that experience has been like.
I found that exact quote. It's, my mind holds only what I think with God.
Perfect.
So it's those thoughts. Those thoughts are the judgments. And the thoughts are also the guilt. And if we can just be present how the ego is using us in every moment to make us feel guilty, whether it's, I have to go get a present for someone because I can't show up empty-handed, and that person will think less of me for not remembering them.
Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, I think we both experienced that, like these little moments of guilt. I had one a couple of days ago that we shared privately. We do feel like there's a lot of obligation.
Yeah.
And we have to do a certain thing, and it has to be at a certain level, or there's something wrong with us, or we will get, I don't know, scolded or something.
Yeah.
It's very strange how we've allowed the ego to control that kind of behavior.
And it's 24/7. I mean, there was a point on Monday in my crazy mind that I thought, there's no way that I can be coming from spirit all the time, because it's literally designed to be coming from ego. And the ego has me all the time. So how am I going to get through this, you know, except for just keep giving it back to spirit, giving the illusions over. I choose spirit.
I like the idea that you were in a spiritual boot camp for 5 days in Cabo or 7 days, and then you came back and you're still dealing with some of this stuff. It makes it easier to relate to. I think we all kind of go through that. But the more we can do the repetition, the more it will become natural for us to reach for God and not the ego. The ego is one of those things where if you aren't vigilant, as the Course talks about, it just takes over naturally. It is such a deeply ingrained behavior pattern. It can be very challenging to kick.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the only ways you can kick it is through repetition with the Course.
That's exactly it.
There's work there. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things I think Gary had mentioned in his books. And I do know that Mike Lemieux mentioned it in his book as well. You really have to do it. There's got to be a commitment behind it. Yeah, I think the only real thing that we have to do is make a commitment to the Course. Not a commitment to making sure that we bring a bottle of wine to somebody's dinner party or making sure that we bring a present to our boss or whatever. That commitment, really, the only commitment that matters is the commitment to the Course. Even though that sounds kind of nutty, and from a religious perspective, it probably sounds cultish, but it is what it is.
It's just the design of the world, this world, is through the ego's point of view. And to stop and turn around and look at the spirit and have it come from the spirit extending through us, Like, we have to apply it, and we have to learn it, and we have to, through that repetition, somehow own it and somehow be it so that we can talk about it with other people. That's the other part of it all, is sharing what we're learning and being teachers, which is one reason why we have the podcast, is
true,
to kind of figure things out.
But we had talked earlier about people who aren't quite ready for the course, don't quite get it. Somebody had asked me the other day, well, what does it mean when you say the table isn't real and the pen isn't real? And so when I tried to explain it, I guess I didn't do a very good job because it didn't quite land. But it goes back to, like, we weren't ready for this 20 years ago when it was first introduced to us. So people just have to come upon it at their own time and in their own pace.
I think you're right. And, you know, sometimes there's people like sisters or friends or colleagues that we could naturally bring it up to. Something authentically happening in our life, and then maybe...
That's a good point. I mean, we're most invested in it when something happens, and at least for me, I cling to it like a life preserver. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this thing happened to me. Let me pull up the course because it'll help me get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the framework of my life now.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, the framework, the foundation.
But there are times when it's easier for me to lapse back on behavior pattern.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Undoubtedly. That's what we know.
Right.
That's what we're trying to correct.
And that's why it's that repetition thing that's so important. Repetition isn't always fun. I can say that.
I don't mind the repetition. I just want to keep remembering so that there is.
Right. And like meaningful ways. Like, I can say a phrase over and over again, but if I'm not feeling it and connected to it, it's just me making noise in the air.
Right.
Like, I have to get to a point where it makes sense. Like, I'm deeply connected to it. And that's usually for me when I'm dealing with other people. I'm perfectly fine reading it and absorbing it and getting it. But as soon as somebody comes into my sphere that is hitting me with ego, I have to really make a concerted effort to stop and be like, okay, this isn't real. Going back to lessons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it was in the course. And this person in front of me is innocent, even though they're saying things to me that are not pleasant and they're, you know, sometimes mean and hurtful. They're innocent. It's remembering that that's a challenge.
Well, it almost seems in the moment that, at least with my situation this week, is I instantly was in that other person's world. Like, I got drawn in instantly as soon as they walked in the door.
Right.
It wasn't until after they left that I could kind of disengage and realign and be like, okay, what just happened?
You know, the work environment is very, it's all ego. It is one big ego place to exist in. So for us to come home, we're out of that space. It's a lot easier to maintain. But in the ego soup, as it were, it's a matter of just stopping for a second and not being drawn in, even though the pull is so strong, especially when you're dealing with somebody who is in a higher position than you at work. Mm-hmm. You feel like, because you've been conditioned to believe that you can't say certain things to your boss, you can't behave in a certain way, even if they're treating you badly. So it's really getting back to, they don't exist. I need to remember they don't exist, but still act as though they do.
And also, like, why did I invent them? What just happened? What is the nugget there that I can take away of why I created that for myself?
Right. And that's a really good point, because we are just creating everything. We are projecting outward what's really created inward.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing, I think, for me, from an ego level. It's like, wait a minute. If I'm creating you, why did I create somebody who's treating me badly? What is it about me that needs to be treated badly right now?
Good question.
Very frustrating. I want everybody to be teddy bears.
Aww.
Teddy bears and comedians. That's what I really want. I want comfort and I want to laugh.
Laughing is good, they say.
Laughing is great. I love laughing. It's kind of hard to laugh at your boss, though. Bosses are a whole different thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's fascinating that if this is all an illusion and we're dreaming it, how we've all bought into this illusion of horrible bosses. You know, why is it? There are some bosses that are good, you know, but overwhelmingly you hear the stories of bad bosses. So what is it about a bad boss that makes him bad? According to the course, it's our own projection.
Yeah, I mean, a year ago I felt like I hated my boss and that I wasn't going to stay in California and I was going to move to New York, and I tried everything I possibly could to make that happen, and every single power of my being with every person I could possibly know. Like, I really tried to make that happen, and it didn't happen. And then I was left with, now I'm still here, and I still hate my boss. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I turned 50, got Gary's book, and then everything has shifted. And a year later, I mean, it took me probably 3 months of putting a sign up saying, I love this person, which I didn't even believe the sign. But a year later now, I can say I authentically and honestly love this person.
Yeah.
Which is something I couldn't have said a year ago.
So you love this person, even though this person on occasion may cause you pain.
Yes.
It's sort of like loving your child, but, you know, they don't always behave in a way that you appreciate.
Yeah, like my brother and sister were all from the mind, mm-hmm. and it's just another fragment, and it's innocent, and it's just surviving, and it's just, you know, it's in its own track, its own dynamic, but it's in my hemisphere or whatever, so somehow I've created this, I can release it.
Well, having watched you go through this transformation, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, I'm really impressed by it. I think you're a really good example in the third world ego situation of how you can get through it. You can push past it. It's possible, listeners. Hang in there.
It is possible, but you got to do your homework.
You got to do your homework. I think that's the bottom line. It'd be nice if we didn't have to. We could just wake up with a magic wand and go, okay, good.
And now it's like I'm in this job, the same job I've been in for 20 years, and I get paid really well, and mm-hmm. I get a lot of my own time. And sometimes that person's in my face, and sometimes they're not, but most of the time they're not. And it's mm-hmm. good I'm not in New York. Like, I have the time.
Right.
It was all part of the plan to stay here and get turned on to the course.
Exactly. Thank it was you, all Jesus. Part of the script. Like we talked earlier, if you'd gone to New York, odds are you might not have come to the course when you did. So. Well, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Just keep giving up the illusions.
Exactly.
And asking spirit to transform them.
And listeners, we are here with you every week. So you can listen to us going through our journey. We would love to hear from you. Blogspot.thecourseofcourse.com.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Bye-bye.